week. A man was traveling down a country road and was forced to stop before a giant puddle covering the entire road. Looking to the side of the road, the man noticed a farmer leaning on a fence. "Think it's safe to cross?" the man asked. "Oh, I reckon so," replied the farmer. The car was immediately swallowed up by the puddle as the man drove in. In fact, it was so deep that he had to roll his windows down to swim out of his car back to the surface. As his head broke the surface, the man said to the farmer, "I thought you said I could safely drive through this puddle." "Well, golly," said the farmer, scratching his head, "it only come up chest high on my ducks." Don't underestimate, right? This morning, as I had mentioned, is a special Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year as we're getting ready to head into a new year. And we've got someone, a very special person here with us this morning, Brock Truxler. He's sitting down front here, and he's got lots of family and friends here today to celebrate with him, plus his church family from here at PCC. Brock, as you guys know, has been going to Lincoln Christian University. I think he's finished with his undergraduate degree now, and whew, done. The pockets are a little empty, but that's okay. The work is done. And Brock, you guys know, is a special individual. He's setting his life aside to be used for God's purposes in ministry. And that's what we recognize this morning as we have the ordination at the end of this service. But the message this morning is going to speak to, as a church, what a member is supposed to do. Each and every one of us play a vital role as members of the church, of PCC, as the church universal, so that we can raise up people like Brock and others who maybe won't go into specialized ministry but are still going to use their life to serve God. We all play a role in this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields." You see, in Luke chapter 10, it's when Jesus sends his 72 disciples out. They've been with him for a while. He sends them out to spread the news concerning Jesus Christ, the man. At that point in time, Jesus was somewhat popular. He hadn't done many things that seemed overly controversial. The religious leaders in Jerusalem didn't care much for Jesus. But the ordinary person perhaps would be open to the idea that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament that God would send. And so Jesus trains these people, these disciples, to go and to tell. But in this chapter, we find quickly that Jesus understood that this would not be an easy task. Why wouldn't it be easy? Why wouldn't it be easy to go into the world and tell people about Jesus? Well, in the first century, people are people just like they are today. In John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus came as a light into the darkness, into this world, yet this world, they didn't recognize him. They rejected him. And Jesus understood, as his disciples went, that the world would turn on them, that they wouldn't listen, that they would cause difficulties for these disciples. And just like today, when we go into the world to share the news of Jesus, it's not always that simple. It's not always that easy. But also, I think Jesus understood that the religious, those who thought they knew God and worshiped God, that they would be just as hard to minister to. Those who claimed to be religious, those who were teachers of the law, taught in the synagogues and in Jerusalem, they were part of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, made life miserable for Jesus. But what they understood as religion is what they believed firmly in. And they were rigid and they were self-seeking in their religion. And Jesus knew that trying to sway the opinion of those who claimed religion would be just as hard as swaying the opinion of those who didn't know God. We fast forward to today. Not much difference. Sometimes within the church, our self-seekingness and our rigidity keeps us from being able to reach people with the gospel. But as a church member, we have a role. And today we are in serious times. And as a church and as a church member, how effective are we being? It's a question we should always be asking ourselves. As a member, all of us have a role to play, and it's to serve. I have a book, and I want to read a passage from it to you this morning. I like these kind of books. As you can tell, it's not real big. It's titled, I Am a Church Member. This is a fantastic book written by Tom Rainier. And I want to read to you just a passage about the state of the church and what you and I as members should be doing. Based on our research of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010, this book is a couple of years old, 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their communities. Simply stated, churches are losing ground in their own backyard. Just that phrase in itself should pique your attention, should get your ear and perhaps tug at your heart. Another way of looking at it is generationally. About two-thirds of the builder generation, those born before 1946, are Christians. But only 15% of the millennials are Christians. The millennials are the largest generation in American history, with almost 80 million members. They were born between 1980 and 2000. And we have all but lost that generation. We can blame it on the secular culture, and we often do. We can blame it on the godless politics of our nation. We do that as well. We can even blame it on the churches, the hypocritical members, and the uncaring pastors. Lots of Christians are doing that. But I am proposing that we who are church members need to look in the mirror. I am suggesting that congregations across America are weak because many of the church members have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We join our churches expecting others to serve us, to feed us, and to care for us. We don't like the hypocrites in the church, but we fail to see our own hypocrisies. God did not give us local churches to become country clubs where membership means we have privileges and perks. He placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases, to die for the sake of the gospel. Many churches are weak because we have members who have turned the meaning of membership upside down. It's time to get it right. It's time to become a church member as God intended. It's time to give instead of being entitled. So you and I, as a member of the Paint a Christian Church, we have a duty. We have a duty that not just any man has called us to, but Jesus Christ himself called those who are in him to be servants. And when this, our worship, our church, becomes about us and our personal needs and preferences, then we lose the entire meaning of the gospel. Jesus said that he came to serve, not be served. He gave his life. He said that he came to seek and save the lost, not to be pampered and cared for, and everything be about me. And so as a church, we are to raise those up to go into the harvest fields. Why are the harvesters so few? Because I think we have messed up the idea of why it is we even exist. We exist to build each other up, not to tear each other down. This morning we're going to go through 2 points, a very simple sermon. How we can build each other up, and build people up to go and do ministry work, whether that's a vocational ministry or just the ministry of your life day in and day out with who you encounter. We need to be building each other up, but we can also tear each other down. We'll examine that as well this morning. But as a church member, you'll do one of two. You will either be building or you'll be tearing down. And I hope you take an inventory of yourself this morning as to what it is you are doing. Because God has called no one to tear another person down. Yet God has called all of us to build one another up. So how is it we can build? Well, here's how to be a builder. The first is to be an encourager. We need to encourage one another. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, a phrase that wasn't a hope, but in this ancient language, a phrase that was an expectation that this would already be happening, that no one would have to tell you, you need to do this. Just like your parents, when you were growing up, they shouldn't have had to tell you to tell someone thank you, but you should just do it. Well, this verse says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In our daily lives, we are to be building and encouraging each other. As a member of a church, you are there to encourage. Seek out ways that you can encourage people to be servants. encourage people through kind words, through positive actions, through a note, through a card, through a pat on the back. Be a cheerleader for someone that you see who is wanting to be involved and getting involved. Be an encourager. Share those kind words. Encourage young people. We hear a lot that the young people in the church are the generation of tomorrow. Well, let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's start today. And encourage young people in the church that they have a place in the church, that their life can be used for the glory of God. Whether that in their life becomes a full-time ministry or it's just their ordinary everyday life, whatever they do, whatever occupation they have, wherever they live, that they have felt encouragement from the church. That's where encouragement should come. That they can use their lives for the glory of God, to serve. Another way that we can build is to be an equipper. Equip people to be able to do ministry. All of you in this room probably have worked a job in your life. When you went to that job, was it just assumed you knew what to do? No, you were trained. You were equipped to do that job. And it's much the same as a church member. We are here to equip one another. And the most important way that we can equip each other is through the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. Because if we don't know the Bible, we don't know the ways of God. If we don't know the Bible, we won't know the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news to preach to all people. And so we have to equip each other with the words of God by its teaching. We can equip each other by putting people into action, putting people into areas that they can serve, that they can thrive and feel a part of the body of Christ. And we can build each other up by putting people into those positions. And we can also equip each other by allowing others to realize their potential. Many times in life, we feel that we are ill-equipped, that we're not able. But as a Christian, as a church member, we should be equipping people. And by equipping them, we can help them to realize they have a potential that God can use. Whatever that might be individually for that person, it can be used for the glory of God. And so we build each other up by equipping each other to do works, not for ourselves, but for the kingdom work of God. A last way that we can be an encourager is to be a unifier. The book of Ephesus was written to the Ephesian church that was dealing with a lot of chaos, disunity, and things weren't going well. The Apostle Paul writes to them that you need to be unified. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And how is it that we can build each other up? It's through unity. This world is chaotic enough. And the last place that we need to find disunity and chaos is within the church of God, within the family of God. But here it's where we find peace and unity, that we are of one accord, one goal, and that's to make the name of Jesus known. And when we come here on a Sunday morning, we do so not for ourselves, but we do it for the worship of God, so that He is exalted. And those that come in these doors feel welcomed to do the same as we do. And so, we can be builders by encouraging each other, by equipping each other to do good works in God's name, and to be unified. All of one goal, to make the name of Jesus known. And so this morning, that's my challenge, that you realize, I need to build others up, not tear them down. Brock's here this morning. I want him to come forward. He's going to share with us how PCC over the years has been there to build him up. Let's give Brock a round of applause as he comes up here.
Well, it's great to be with you all this morning. It's always good to be home. And that's what it has been. PCC has never just been a church home, but you guys have been a family to me. I love the comments that I get, you know, Brock, we knew you when you were this big. And if you knew me when I was that big, you were probably thinking, you know, the last thing this kid is going to be is a pastor. But you took a chance on me, and you were faithful to what God has called you to do. I remember being 10 years old, 10 or 11, and I was learning the guitar. And I wanted to learn how to play rock and roll or the blues, you know, because I had all kinds of problems as a 10-year-old trying to learn the blues. But I will never forget when Cheryl Sexton asked me to play on the worship team. And that was the beginning of my leadership here at Pena. 11-year-old kid playing guitar on the stage. And she took a chance on me, and I'm forever grateful for that. And many others have been encouragers. Just through laying $20 in my guitar case because you knew I had to drive back and forth from Lincoln, or leaving notes in my mailbox. I've still got a few of those notes. Or just even, you know, Sunday school teachers and VBS leaders, you don't realize the impact that you are making and the impact that's had on my life. It's living like you've been sent here instead of stuck here. It's living as if Stephen's speech in Acts 7 is true, that God really does decide the time and the place of all things. And so that means you've been placed in this context for a reason, and you're to minister out of that. And so I'm forever grateful for that. So I just want to thank you guys so much for all you have done for me. I'm excited moving forward. We would appreciate prayers as Hannah and I finish school, I finish my apprenticeship, and we decide where God's going to take us next. Thank you guys so much.
We appreciate Brock and Hannah, and I, on their behalf, I ask for your prayers for them as they take the steps forward that they're taking. As you step into full-time ministry, it can be a little nerve-wracking, a little uncertainty there, but you do know that God is leading, and to know that you have a church family behind you and praying for you means a lot. And we've talked about how it is that we can build one another up, but just as a coin has two sides, there's two sides to this as well. While God calls us to build one another up, there are times where we can tear each other down. And it's not that any one person sets out to do such a thing, but it is the human side of our condition. That we live in a world of sin. And that each and every one of us are sinners. But it's something that we should guard ourselves against. That God calls us to build each other up, to build those up who want to do kingdom work in God's name. We build each other up and encourage to do so, but there's also the other side. How is it that we can tear each other down? This is what we should guard ourselves against. And the first is negativity. We live in a very negative culture. What TV programs became famous a couple decades ago? Someone gets on a stage, they sing a song, and they find out how bad they are. We like to be negative. We like to put each other down. And that became the most popular things that was on television. In a way, it still is. But being around negativity can be draining. Perhaps where you work, there's someone that you work alongside of, that it seems that negativity overflows. And it can be very tiring. And within the body of Christ, within the church, as a member, one of the things that can tear down the service work to the Lord is a negativity. Always seeing things for what they aren't. Looking for things to point out that are wrong. And being just downright negative. We need to guard ourselves against such attitudes and behaviors. But to be positive. Another is the opposite of being encouraging, but it's to be discouraging. Discouragement, in many ways, can be what tears down a church more than anything else. Many times, unfortunately, within the church, for every one positive comment or encouraging word, you probably hear 10 discouraging words. And Brock, I speak to you as you head into ministry that's something that you'll have to work through. To have thick skin, but still the love of Jesus Christ. But as a church member, we have to realize when perhaps we're being a little bit discouraging and tearing down. A third is selfishness. When it becomes about you in the church, that's when ministry comes to a halt. Rick Warren wrote a book that became pretty popular about 20 or so years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. And the first sentence in that book says, it's not about you. Why we gather on a Sunday morning is not about you. Why we have a Bible study or special events, it's not about you. But the purpose of the church is about God's purposes. But unfortunately, Satan uses the tool of selfishness to where we think about my needs, what I need, what I think's important. You see, I think God understood that there's no way to make everybody happy. And that's why He made the church not about its members, but He made the church about those who aren't even a part of it yet. That our sole purpose as a church is to seek and to save the lost. In Matthew 28, Jesus told His disciples to go and make disciples. And so, that signifies to me that as we gather as a church and we worship, our sole purpose isn't of ourselves. It's not an inward-focused worship, but it's an outward-focused worship. First on God and making Him known. Outside of these walls, at one point in your life, you were in the condition that you did not know Christ. And there is a world that doesn't know Him. How was it that you came to know? It's because someone else was unselfish, and they reached out to you, and they shared the gospel with you. Therefore, as a church member, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to not be inward focused, but to look out and reach into the lives of those who need to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's our purpose, and their selfishness can't be a part of it. And one that's very closely tied is personal preference. When we look around the church and decide that things need to be about me, and I don't like this, I don't like that, and the focal point becomes your personal preferences over the gospel message, that's one of Satan's tools to tear down those who are trying to serve. To tearing down a church that's trying to serve and do what the Bible teaches. And this usually comes with change. When things change within the church and we're a bit uncomfortable with what's happening or how something looks a little bit different and we get on edge and it becomes a personal preference over the gospel. And when our remembrances of the past supersede our vision of the future, then Satan's got us right where he wants us. And we're what that book described. We're a church. We're one of the 9 out of 10. That's the status quo. That's shrinking, not even in number, but in spiritual things. And we can't find ourselves in that. So, as a church member, you're doing one of two things. You're either building someone up or you're tearing them down. And God has never called us to tear each other down. But God has called us to build one another up so that we can continue to serve Him and Him alone. And kingdom work is hard. That's why Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest fields." How is it that we can increase the amount of harvest workers? We got to build each other up. We have to invest into each other's lives and encourage and unify and equip. Just as Brock had mentioned, this church has done for him, we need to continue to do that for one another. You see, the last place that we should find challenges is in the church. We find plenty of challenges in the world, but here is the last place we should find those challenges. And so my encouragement to you this morning is you think about yourself, where you're at in your position with Christ. And are you building? That's my hope for this church family, for each member of this church, that you're building someone up. Maybe it's multiple people. If you're not doing it at all, I propose to you to start with a person and continue to build them up, be their cheerleader, and see them blossom and grow into what God can use them for. And perhaps someone will do that for you as well. This morning, if you'd accept the challenge to be a kingdom builder, as Brock is making this step this morning, and we'll ordain that in a few moments. My challenge to you as we sing this song, that it's a song of invitation, but if you've already received Christ, the challenge here is it's a song of hope, that you already know Christ, and you have the opportunity to build somebody else up so that they can receive the same thing that you've received. But if you haven't received Christ, this song is also a song of invitation. to receive what it is that Jesus has done personally for you, that He loved you so much that His life wasn't taken from Him, but He freely gave His life so that the sins of your life can be taken away. Christ did that personally for you. And so we invite you this morning to accept what it is that Jesus has done. And so this morning as we stand and we sing this song, let's think about how it is that we can build one another up. Let's stand and let's sing.